This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news out of Iran. He's a pastor. He's Iranian. He's also an American citizen, and he's in jail.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. We've got breaking news coming out of Iran, and this is just up on Fox News now. We've been working on this case quietly for about a week. Lisa Daftari from FoxNews.com will be joining us shortly. A 32-year-old Iranian who is also a citizen of the United States. So this is a U.S. citizen. He is a Christian convert. He's done work in Iran. He was back visiting with his family and got arrested. He is being held in jail in a horrible prison. Without any charges being put against him. And, of course, this is reminiscent of the Pastor Yousef Nardakhani situation, except we've got an American citizen here, which makes this even more troubling. Jordan's got the latest developments on this. We're going to be joined by Lisa Daftari in the second segment of the broadcast. And also you'll be hearing from Pastor Saeed's wife. This is a huge case with a lot of developments. Our phone lines are open for you as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. This is just breaking right now. Jordan, what's the latest?
He's 32 years old. He has two young children, a 6-year-old daughter, a 4-year-old son. His wife, Nagme, his children are in the United States. They're U.S. citizens and dual citizenship. He is a convert from Islam, and he has faced difficulty in Iran before, but has extended amount of family there. And on this latest trip he had made, though he had had some run-ins in the past, he was put under house arrest back in July. We got involved. Then he has been in jail, the Evin prison, which is the notorious political prisoner jail in Iran, in Tehran, since September. And we've been working on this and deciding when and if we were going to need to go public. We talked about this possibility yesterday on the broadcast, actually, and we decided today was the day because of these new charges he's facing. Again, these charges against national security, those carry the most severe possible punishments.
All right, let me recap for everybody here. So there's exactly what we have right now. We've got a 32-year-old pastor. He is a U.S. citizen. He's also Iranian, but he's a U.S. citizen, Reverend Saeed Abedini. He lives in the United States with his wife, and Jordan said he's got two young kids. He makes frequent visits to see his parents and also to help in community needs in Iran. He has been arrested. He is a U.S. citizen. They have put him, as Jordan mentioned, in the brutal, notoriously brutal Evin prison, where he's been incarcerated since late in September. And he was supposed to, bond was posted for his release, and the Iranian government has refused to acknowledge this. This is an American citizen, folks. And Jordan, what are we getting out of the State Department right now, if anything?
You know, it's a tough situation. He's a dual citizen. We're going to have to get our government involved. This is not something that was public. Not a public story until it was released this today. We decided, as the family's representatives here, we represent them in the United States and in groups like the United Nations. Today was the day. So we're actually telling, you know, officially for the first time, members of Congress, our State Department, that this is now a public story. But he is also an Iranian citizen, so he faces that legal challenge. But I think the key here is he's one of ours, American Christian.
Yep.
His family's stuck here in the United States, two young kids again, and he's an American. And he's in Iranian jail facing these charges of national security.
Folks, this is an extremely serious situation. Why is it that the administration is not reacting? That's one question. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But it is about to be Christmas in about a week. And, folks, this is exactly, you know, where we're going to be celebrating Christmas. This pastor is going to be in a notoriously brutal prison. He is an American. He is a Christian. And he is in Iranian prison. We need to get him out. We've got to start building up international pressure. We've just launched a petition drive today. You go to ACLJ.org. You can sign it. Save an American pastor from Iranian abuse and imprisonment. This is a serious, serious situation, folks. You can also go to 1-877-989-2255. Obviously, our offices in Strasbourg, France, in New York, working in the UN, will all be involved in this. ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. He's in jail for his faith. An American citizen in Iran. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
You remember the lengthy imprisonment of Youssef Nader Khani, a Christian pastor who spent nearly 3 years in prison in Iran because of his faith, freed only after an international outcry demanding his release. Now, the ACLJ is involved in a new case of religious persecution in Iran. We represent the family of a pastor, an Iranian U.S. citizen, being held in an Iranian prison because of his Christian faith. American pastor Saeed Abedini has a wife and two young children living here in the United States. He's been imprisoned in Iran for months, now facing charges that could result in a lengthy prison term or possibly even the death penalty. The ACLJ is mobilizing all of its international resources, urging the UN, the U.S. government, and Congress to demand the release of Pastor Saeed. Now you can add your name to our petition demanding his immediate release. Sign our petition now. Demand that Iran free American pastor Saeed immediately. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nader Khani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, breaking story, Lisa Daftari from FoxNews.com has posted, and she's an expert on Middle East affairs, and we're going to be joining with her in just a moment, has posted a story on a case we've been involved in, 32-year-old Iranian who is a U.S. citizen, a Christian convert, which, by the way, in Islam, remember, as Muslim becomes a Christian, that's the equivalent of apostasy there, has been arrested while he was visiting family back in Iran. He is a dual citizen. He's a citizen of the United States as well. He's been put in Evin prison, which is just horrendous. It's the political prison, and it's of course they're gonna, you know, no charges filed yet, but they're gonna accuse him of being, you know, crimes against the state, just like in the Youssef Nader Khani situation, except Nader Khani was not a convert, and in this situation we've got right now with Pastor Saeed, he is in fact was Muslim and is now a Christian. Under Sharia law, Muslim law, and Lisa points this out in her piece, a Muslim who converts to Christianity is, quote, according to Lisa, on par with someone waging war against Islam. And that's actually out of the dictates of Sharia law as well. So it's a very serious situation. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you, we're just starting a campaign now to bring the awareness. So we've started a campaign drive, which we're going to take to the UN, State Department, and other government agencies to get his release, especially as we're celebrating Christmas, folks. So you can go to aclj.org and sign the petition there, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's program tonight with the pastor's wife talking about this. And we've got Lisa Daftari with us right now. And Lisa, thanks for being on the broadcast today, and thanks for your great work on bringing this case to light.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Thank you for your great work with the ACLJ. This is something that requires the work of not just your organization, myself, news organizations, but really people to spread the word, spread the story. This is both a hard and easy story to really tell, difficult, because it really is tolling on us, even as professionals trying to, you know, get this out there. And it's easy because it just tells itself. Where, I mean, this is it sounds like a movie, a horrible, awful nightmare for this family. We're coming up on Christmas. You have the sweetest, most innocent people, and you and myself and many others at ACLJ have worked very closely with this family, getting to know them. And I actually had correspondence with Pastor Saeed before he even went to Iran. I knew that he was coming and going all the time. He actually wrote me beautiful emails about, the work that we did in covering Youssef Nader Khani's case. So this is completely ironic that he finds himself in the same position. And it's not even the same position. He is a U.S. citizen. We should be able to use the means that we have, the tools that we have, in getting him out and getting him back to his family.
Let's get a little history here, Lisa. You've been in contact with him and his family for a significant period of time here, but let's talk about what's happened right now. He goes back and visits his family, does some humanitarian work in Iran, and he gets picked up by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as he's about to board a bus to get onto the airport and get out of the country to leave and go back home. When did you first get notified that he was actually imprisoned?
His wife called me right away. His wife called me. I'll tell you, it's a very unusual situation that he had been with. You know, over the last 2 years, he made 9 trips back and forth to Iran. And as I mentioned in the piece, and as you know, he had previously gotten the attention of the Iranian government in 2009. But he knew that he belonged in Iran, at least to make frequent visits, to visit his family and to do the humanitarian work. That's his culture. Those are his people. That's the community that he likes to work with. And he made he signed a written agreement saying that he would not do any official participate in official church activity, but that he would be able to go back and forth as he pleased, and that's exactly what he did. Now, going back and forth all this time, I don't know why this one last time he had written to me just in passing that he's going to Iran, but he also left my name and number with his wife, just very unusual that maybe he had some sort of, I don't even know what to call it, but she called me right away. She said that this is what happened, and my first reaction, although I do work for the media, was let's take a step back and call the ACLJ, because I know the wonderful work that you and your organization did for Yusuf Nargahani. And a lot of times, it's this balance that we have to play between getting these cases,
right,
that are highly sensitive, into the public eye and keeping it highlighted, to put pressure, like we did with the Yusuf Nargahani case. I think it's
exactly, you're exactly pressure. Correct. Lisa's got a great piece on that she's written on FoxNews.com, and I'm going to encourage you to go there to see it and read it. And it's exactly what Lisa just said, and that is we've got a situation much like the Nargahani matter, but also different in the sense that we've got a U.S. citizen here, folks. This is a United States citizen who's being held in Iran, and we've got to take action on this, and we're trying to get governmental responses. Lisa's been working on it as well, and that's where you come in. We want to engage you, the American people, right now that are listening to this on 950 radio stations across the country. You go to ACLJ.org and sign on to this petition. We got to get notice and attention. This is the key thing. What Lisa has done here is brought this to national attention, because obviously with her relationship with Fox News, it gets out very quickly. So ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 to sign a petition urging the release of this pastor. I know Jordan's got a question for you too, and I've got a couple other follow-ups. Jordan, go ahead.
Well, Lisa, I mean, one of the things we talked about, all of these stories, when we go public with it, people then wonder, what can they do? And I think what's key is it's things like sharing your story, because we know, as much as they'll try to deny it, the Iranian government is going to take notice of this story being on the front page of FoxNews.com right now.
Right, absolutely. And it's exactly as you said. I think that's, there's a reason why the Iranian government cracks down on internet users within the country. There's a reason why they surveil people's Facebook pages. There's a reason why they say, don't go on Twitter, don't go on YouTube. There's a reason why 2009, their uprising was called the Twitter Revolution. It's because it's the Achilles heel of the Iranian government, and that's exactly the tool we have to use. We use the tool of communication in fighting them with their weapons. And although it's not a one-to-one battle here, this is the best that we can do: communication, passing the story around, writing into your representatives, but I think more than that is sharing the story on your social networking sites, talking about the story and keeping it alive. I think the beautiful example of the Yusuf Nargahani case that we had before us was that the media was such a wonderful partner,
yep,
in taking on this effort and really keeping, almost daily we heard about this. And I don't know if you want to you want to give credit to the slower news cycles, whatever it is. I know right now that the shooting at the elementary school. It's very big. Gun laws are going to be huge right now. President Obama's speaking behind me on the screen as I'm speaking to you. I know these issues, these legislative issues on gun laws are going to be taking the front page.
But this is going to get big attention because it's an American. And what we've got to stress here: this is a U.S. citizen of Iranian descent, a convert from Islam to Christianity, a pastor, and he's in a political prison that is known for brutality, and he's an American citizen. I mean, this is a serious situation. Yeah, go ahead.
What difference is this from the, 1979, 1980 hostage crisis? He's a hostage right now. He's
exactly.
being held in order to make an example of, the West, and Christianity is the best way to make the example. Christianity represents the West. It represents Europe. It represents the United States. They're making an example out of him. And as you said, we felt that call to action with Yousef Nadarkhani. This is even more, not to say both lives are equally important.
Sure, but he's a U.S. citizen.
American citizen.
Yep.
He is exactly a U.S. citizen, and we owe it to him, to his wife, to his two little beautiful children to do the best that we can in bringing him home.
Let me tell you this, what we've got right now, and this is, Lisa, we still have our Tweet for Yousef campaign going on because Mohammed Dakka, his lawyer, is imprisoned, right. Even though Nadarkhani's out. So we're going to get that through our social medias today. We're going to get your story out wide. I think Megyn Kelly's going to be at least doing a little bit on this, just talking about it today. We're doing Hannity tonight. We've had you on radio. We're going to get you on radio again this week, and we're going to keep this information out there. We're going into Christmas week here, which is tough. When you talk about media, but this is the perfect story and a horrible situation, but for Christians to and people of goodwill, American citizens of all faith, to say, you know what, we're not going to let an American pastor, U.S. citizen, sit in a jail. And believe me, he's not sitting. It's a brutal prison,
no.
The Yemen prison. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to fight hard.
You mentioned that his, we believe that he's in a cell with people who have identified themselves as Al-Qaeda members. This is no joke. This is
this
father
is,
from the United States who wants to be at Toys R Us right now buying holiday gifts for his kids.
All right.
This is really, yes.
Really, really tragic. Lisa, we're on a hard break here. Thank you for breaking this story. We're going to, I'm sure, have you on again this week. Keep us posted, and we'll keep you posted as developments warrant here, which it will over the next days. And hopefully just days ahead we can get this release worked out. Thanks a lot, Lisa. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to a break. We'll be taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We've got a U.S. pastor, American citizen, in jail in Iran because he's a Christian. And State Department right now is doing nothing. We've got to get to action here, folks. Everybody go to your phone, ACLJ.org, or sign the petition for his release. We got to get it going now. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also sign that petition at ACLJ.org. We're mobilizing all of our social media as well as our legal teams. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. You go to the phones now, 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Yousef Nadarkhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Yousef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Yousef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Yousef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. You remember the lengthy imprisonment of Yousef Nadarkhani, a Christian pastor who spent nearly 3 years in prison in Iran because of his faith, freed only after an international outcry demanding his release. Now, the ACLJ is involved in a new case of religious persecution in Iran. We represent the family of a pastor, an Iranian U.S. citizen, being held in an Iranian prison because of his Christian faith. American pastor Saeed Abedini has a wife and two young children living here in the United States. He's been imprisoned in Iran for months. Now, now facing charges that could result in a lengthy prison term or possibly even the death penalty. The ACLJ is mobilizing all of its international resources, urging the UN, the U.S. government, and Congress to demand the release of Pastor Saeed. Now you can add your name to our petition demanding his immediate release. Sign our petition now. Demand that Iran free American Pastor Saeed immediately. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, we've got a 32-year-old pastor. This is much like the Yousef Nardakhani case, except he's an American. He's a U.S. citizen of Iranian descent. He was visiting family in Iran. He has been arrested. He's been placed in the notoriously brutal Evin prison. Lisa Daptari from FoxNews.com broke the story today. We've been working with her, actually, for, Jordan, how long now? Been a couple weeks?
A few months, actually.
A few months, okay.
I mean, it goes back to his original house arrest, which was back in July. So that's how long we've been working with the family.
We just have not taken it public because we were hoping that we could be able to secure his release without having to have a public engagement here, doing quietly behind the scenes. That has not happened. Remember last time, probably one of the keys for Nardakhani's release was help from our affiliate in Brazil, because Brazil has relations with Iran. Jordan, have you talked to our colleagues down there yet about this one?
We just released this morning. So we didn't do anything on this until we were 100% sure we were going public, because we did not, you know, this, it's a judgment call. It's a
right.
decision process. And by making it public, you put the regime on notice in Iran that it's public news in the United States of America. Put our government on notice. So this is all developing. As people listen to this broadcast, they are hearing it as we develop taking this story public.
All right, folks, what we want you to do, we're going to play some. Jordan interviewed Pastor Saeed's wife a few moments ago, right before we went on air. We're going to play a few minutes of that in just a second. But I need you to take direct action here. We've got a petition going to demand from the State Department engagement, the UN, Iran, I mean, you name it, we're going to get this out to government officials, but we need your help on this. We've got to get to, and I know it's Christmas week, we need to get to 30 or 40,000 signatures really quick here so we can have an impact and then go to our colleagues around the world and our offices around the world. This is an American citizen. He's a U.S. pastor, 32 years old, two kids. He's in the notoriously brutal prison in Iran. We've got to take action. Go to aclj.org, sign that petition there, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Jordan spoke with his wife, but Jordan set this up a little bit. Let's play some short excerpts from that.
You know, this is something very different for Pastor Yousef Nardakhani. We got the wife is here in the United States. The two children,
U.S. citizens,
they're
also,
here. They're U.S. citizens, and so we got to actually. So not only do we speak to the wife, working with the wife and the family every single day, she will be public on this. And so this is different than those like Pastor Yousef, where the family's a direct family of the wife. That when they don't speak English, they're not Americans, but also they're facing this threat at, you know, in Iran, in their home. Here we have the wife, who actually was on the phone with him today. Through a phone call he gets to make once a week to his family. I mean, it's, folks, this is Nagme Panahi. This is Pastor Saeed's wife here in the United States. I just talked to her moments ago before going live on air. Here's some of that.
Saeed comes from a strong Muslim background, and he had a very powerful conversion in 2000, had an encounter with Lord Jesus Christ, and that changed his life, and he became a Christian, a witness for Christ inside of Iran, and that's where his journey as a Christian began, and soon after is where he was considered a criminal by the government and continually wanted and arrested for his faith. 3 years ago was very, very difficult, a very dark moment in my life. We were boarding the plane to come to the U.S., and my one-year-old son at that time was in my husband's arms, and the intelligence police at that time had to tear the kids apart from their father, and it was a hard plane ride. I mean, the kids didn't sleep the whole 24-hour trip, and were crying and asking for him. He's a dad. He does the nightly routines. He tucks them into bed, reads them the stories, prays with them, and so it was very difficult, as this time also was and has been. We haven't seen him since mid-June. He was in Iran in July and was not allowed to return. And but my faith has really, I mean, this time I found such an amazing peace, and I can even say joy and comfort, even though the charges seem really harsh against him. And God has given me a lot of peace that I can only come through faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, folks, we got to get to work on this. You're hearing from the wife there, and this is, you know, we're at Christmas time. We've got a U.S. pastor of Iranian descent in jail, a convert from Islam, so they consider him an enemy of the state. And our response has got to be, we're going to stand with this pastor, and we're going to work on his release. This is where you come in. We can't do this by ourselves. You heard from Lisa Daftari. I mean, you just can't do this, just the ACLJ. We've got to get a huge outpouring of support from around the globe. So you go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. You call us right now. Add your name to this petition. It's Christmas. Let's get his release. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Quick note, we exceeded 100,000 signatures yesterday on that issue with money going to the Muslim Brotherhood and the weapons going to the Muslim Brotherhood. Our government affairs team is now working with that. A huge thank you to all of you that called in on this. But this is a new challenge, folks, and we need your help. ACLJ.org. We want to get this pastor, this American citizen, out of jail. 877-989-2255. Jordan, she's also worried about the well-being of her husband, correct?
She is, and she talked about that again today. This is, you're hearing from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagmeh Panahi, who's in the United States of America. She's a U.S. citizen, talking about the toll this has taken on her and her husband and the children, of course. Take a listen.
I'm very worried about his well-being. In the last few months, he's been beaten by interrogators and also now inmates that are being very harsh to him, and I'm worried about his health. And, you know, it's natural as the Christmas season is approaching where it's very difficult for me and the kids, first time daddy's away. And I just plead that we do what we can to get him out of Iran and with the family again, with our family and with the kids. And it's just been very emotional for them. My six-year-old understands so much more. She's been asking questions, you know, and a few weeks ago she was crying, Mommy, I'm forgetting Daddy's voice. I don't remember how his voice sounds anymore. And so, I mean, we had to try to arrange some kind of a call so she could hear his voice for a few minutes and just calm down. And she's been thinking about, how does Daddy look like, Mommy? Do you think he has a beard now? And this morning, again, it was just by grace of God, we got to hear him for a few minutes. And I put the phone, it was 5:30 in the morning, I put the phone on her ears, and she was half asleep, half awake. And I, Saeed got to tell her, you know, El Daddy loves you very much, and my beard is getting very big. It's getting very long. So it's just been very difficult for our family, especially for our kids. They don't understand when is Daddy coming home. They don't understand days and months, how long, and they feel like they waited a long time already. And we just want to get him home. We just want to get him back. And you know, he's done nothing against the Iranian government or their national security. He's had a powerful conversion to Christ, and he has been sharing that everywhere he's gone, inside or outside of Iran. And unfortunately, the Iranian government sees that as a national threat and as a national security charge, which can carry very heavy charges up to the death penalty.
Let me tell you this, folks. Go ahead, Jordan.
You know, that alone, I mean, folks, that's why we need you to take action right there.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. And listening, I'm glad we played that bite from Jordan's interview with her, which just took place right before we went on air. Folks, I mean, this is a 32-year-old dad with, it's close to the age of Jordan and my kid, Jordan and Logan, are a couple years younger. I mean, this guy's got two young kids. It's Christmas. He's an American citizen. He's in jail because of his faith in Christianity and in a brutal prison. You and I have a job to do here. You go to right now. I need you on this petition. We've got days to act. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or you call right now at 1-877-989-2255. I need everybody that's listening. If you worked and helped us with Pastor Yousef Nardakhani and got that release, let's do the same right here for this U.S. pastor, U.S. citizen in Iran right now. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We got a lot more ahead. Stay with us on SiriusXM. Or go over to ACLJ.org. 1-877-989-2255. Sign right now.
The ACLJ is mobilizing all of its international resources, urging the UN, the U.S. government, and Congress to demand the release of Pastor Saeed. Now you can add your name to our petition demanding his immediate release. Sign our petition now. Demand that Iran free American pastor Saeed immediately. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
broadcast, everyone. Jordan's in our studios in Washington, D.C. I'm in our media center. I'll be on Hannity tonight discussing this issue with the wife of Pastor Saeed. This is a really troubling situation. We've got a 32-year-old Iranian descent, U.S. citizen, Christian convert from Islam. He's now imprisoned in one of the most brutal prisons in Iran, the Eben prison. He's been incarcerated since late September. We just broke the story now. We were hoping to secure his release. That has not happened so far. And, Jordan, this is a really troubling development and something that we've got our full resources at the ACLJ now fully engaged in.
It is. I know it can be, you know, tougher for people to wrap their heads around what's happening here. This American citizen, dual citizen, has been in jail now. The same kind of tough political prison in Tehran as Pastor Yusuf. These others, is it Pastor Yusuf's attorney? This is where they sit those who are charged with these national security offenses. But people are going to see a lot of it. It's on FoxNews.com. You're going to be on television tonight over the weekend. I think I'm now scheduled to be on. So, folks, you're going to be hearing about this story, and it's going to come together just like Pastor Yusuf's. But here, we have the wife, we've already played parts of an interview I did with her, talked to her, who we represent moments ago. And I want to hear from people who have been calling in as well. Greg has been holding on. He's calling in from North Dakota on line 3. Greg, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Jay. How are you today?
Good.
You know, I really love your show. I love what you stand for. I worked in the Middle East and throughout Africa and a lot of Muslim nations for over 10 years, and I know exactly what you're talking about. The one thing that bothers me about your broadcast is you get so much public support, but we need to realize that as Christians, we don't fight with the weapons of this world.
Oh, no, listen, we are praying. Let me tell you this, Greg. You're hearing about a story today that we've been working on for months, with no notice to anybody except our staff and some people at Fox News, the good people at Fox News. We've been working on this, literally, Jordan, for months.
Yes. I mean, this is something we've been working on since July. And, you know, I think we have a duty as Christians to use every resource we have available to us. Prayer is available to all. Some of us have these resources. We have lawyers. We've got supporters. And that's what I think. If we weren't doing anything, that would be just like not praying. You weren't using the resources you have available that God's made available to you. So I think, yes, the importance of prayer is obviously centerfold here. But we've got an ability to really take our resources and take his story to the world, which began this morning.
The Apostle Paul said this, that he is a citizen of Rome and demanded his citizenship rights. This is a citizen of the United States, and we are demanding his right. Let's take Nathan next, Jordan.
Yep, Nathan's calling in from Maine on line 5. Nathan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Nathan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was just wondering, I know me being a United States citizen, and from what I hear about Iran, I wouldn't want to be a citizen of Iran or fall under the realm of their
police. He was born in Iran. I mean, he is Iranian by birth. His family's still in Iran, and he does go back to Iran regularly, not only to visit his family, but to do humanitarian efforts. So, this is not something where you can't undo his descendancy. I mean, he's of Iranian descent, and that's what it is. But he's an American citizen, you're right, and because of that, he needs to be protected.
Absolutely, and I think that it's a horrible thing that he's placed in this very restrictive prison that's not very friendly to people at all.
Yeah, you cannot even, Jordan, that people cannot even imagine the conditions that he's in since he's in Eben prison. It's the worst of the worst.
Yes, I mean, this is a situation where Al-Qaeda members are in the same cell as him. I mean, so they're threatening him. They're saying, we're Al-Qaeda, you're this American Christian convert, and put it all together, and a dual citizen.
Not good.
Convert from Islam, has been harassed before and is now in a prison with those who are in jail in Iran because they are too radical because of their Al-Qaeda membership, and that's where the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, that's the kind of cell they put him in.
Yeah, folks, here's what we're going to do. We want you to take direct action on this. We've got an interview coming up with his wife. You're going to want to hear more on this tomorrow, of course. Stay tuned, but go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition or call us right now at 1-877-989-2255. We've got an American citizen, pastor, Christian, Muslim convert in jail in Iran. We got to do everything we can to get him out. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
You remember the lengthy imprisonment of Youssef Nader Khani, a Christian pastor who spent nearly 3 years in prison in Iran because of his faith, freed only after an international outcry demanding his release. Now, the ACLJ is involved in a new case of religious persecution in Iran. We represent the family of a pastor, an Iranian U.S. citizen, being held in an Iranian prison because of his Christian faith. American pastor Saeed Abedini has a wife and two young children living here in the United States. He's been imprisoned in Iran for months, now facing charges that could result in a lengthy prison term or possibly even the death penalty. The ACLJ is mobilizing all of its international resources, urging the UN, the U.S. government, and Congress to demand the release of Pastor Saeed. Now you can add your name to our petition demanding his immediate release. Sign our petition now. Demand that Iran free American pastor Saeed immediately. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nader Khani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast. Well, as we've been talking about, there's been a story that broke today. We have been working on, though, for months, actually. It was not a public case yet, though. We had talked about, you know, that we do a lot of work for people in Iran, for Christians in Iran. Well, this is a very different kind of story because not only is it a Iranian Christian, but it's one of our own, an American, a dual citizen of both Iran and the United States of America, who has been in prison since September because of his Christian faith, being charged with crimes of national security. But we know, of course, from our past experience, this is the usual and kind of broad charge that's made against those because of their Christian faith. Now, we have been working on this. Today, we want to tell you the real story. It's on Fox News, but we have a guest with us, something different from most of these cases because, again, let me reiterate, this is a young man, a husband and a father of two, who is both an Iranian who's in prison because of his faith in Tehran, but one of ours, a United States citizen, and his wife, who's in the United States, Nagme, is joining us right now. Nagme, it's great to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
Let me ask you first on this tough day as you begin to really speak out about your husband's situation. Just tell us about Saeed's faith. Tell us about your family. Tell us about Saeed.
I met Saeed comes from a strong Muslim background, and he had a very powerful conversion in 2000, had an encounter with Lord Jesus Christ, and that changed his life, and he became a Christian, a witness for Christ inside of Iran, and that's where his journey as a Christian began, and soon after is where he was considered a criminal by the government and continually wanted and arrested for his faith.
You have gone through tough times dealing with this, though. In the past, your husband, Saeed, was detained before in front of your own eyes, and you had to get on a plane and come home. What is it like now going through this experience? Everyone knows very difficult. And how important is your faith and your husband's faith in deciding what to do here in this kind of, you know, tough for people to imagine as an American, like he is, being stuck and having to kind of come to the world's attention and say, please help me?
Yes. Yes, 3 years ago was very, very difficult, a very dark moment in my life. We were boarding the plane to come to the U.S., and my one-year-old son at that time was in my husband's arms, and the intelligence police at that time had to tear the kids apart from their father, and it was a hard plane, right? I mean, the kids didn't sleep the whole 24-hour trip, and we're crying and asking for him. He's a dad. He does the nightly routines. He tucks them into bed, reads them the stories, prays with them. And so it was very difficult, as this time also was and has been. It's been, we haven't seen him since mid-June. He was in Iran in July and was not allowed to return. And but my faith has really, I mean, this time I found such a amazing peace, and I can even say joy and comfort, even though the charges seem really harsh against him. And God has given me a lot of peace that I can only come through faith in Jesus Christ.
We're talking again a story that I want to keep reminding people. Saeed Abedini, who is an American citizen, also an Iranian citizen, now imprisoned in Iran for since September, has had trouble in the past because of his Christian faith and because he was a Muslim who became a Christian, but this time different. Really, it started back in July when he was put under house arrest, then arrested in September. His family is facing difficulties as well. And we're talking to his wife, who is here in the United States of America, also a U.S. citizen. He's the father of two young children, a six-year-old daughter, a four-year-old son. And we've been talking about their story because we are releasing it today so that those of you who have seen it maybe on Fox News, the story just posted, these are the ones we're talking about when we say we only talk about it publicly and specifically if we believe we have to. And, you know, we've reiterated that to you folks. That's why we're doing this now. But this is such a unique opportunity to hear directly from someone who is facing this experience, their family, their wife. And let me ask you, Nagma, what would you want all the people listening right now and hearing you in this interview, what do you want them to know specifically about what's happening and what they can do to help? You know, I think prayer is very important. Speaking about it's very important. This is an American citizen. It should touch, I mean, people have gotten, you know, they care about all Christians who are persecuted, and we've seen that before in the past, especially out of Iran and our the American people coming together. But this is a U.S. citizen, an American Christian, who is stuck in an Iranian jail facing these charges. What do you want the American people to know?
I'm very worried about his well-being. In the last few months, he's been beaten by interrogators and also now inmates that are being very harsh to him. And I'm worried about his health. And, you know, it's natural as the Christmas season is approaching where it's very difficult for me and the kids, first time daddy's away. And I just plead that we do what we can to get him out of Iran and with the family again, with our family and with the kids. And it's just been very emotional for them. My six-year-old understands so much more. She's been asking questions, you know, and a few weeks ago she was crying, "Mommy, I'm forgetting daddy's voice. I don't remember how his voice sounds anymore." And so, I mean, we had to try to arrange some kind of a call so she could hear his voice for a few minutes and just calm down. And she's been thinking about, how does daddy look like, mommy? Do you think he has a beard now? And this morning, again, it was just by grace of God, we got to hear him for a few minutes, and I put the phone, it was 5:30 in the morning, I put the phone on her ears, and she was half asleep, half awake, and I, you know, Saeed got to tell her, you know, daddy loves you very much, and my beard is getting very big, it's getting very long. So it's just been very difficult for our family, especially for our kids. They don't understand, when is daddy coming home? They don't understand days and months, how long, and they feel like they waited a long time already, and we just want to get him home. We just want to get him back. And, you know, he's done nothing against the Iranian government or their national security. He's had a powerful conversion to Christ, and he has been sharing that everywhere he's gone, inside or outside of Iran. And unfortunately, the Iranian government sees that as a national threat and as a national security charge, which can carry very heavy charges up to the death penalty.
Folks, you've been hearing from, again, Nagma Abedini, the wife of Saeed Abedini. You're going to be seeing her on television. You'll be seeing her on cable news. You'll be hearing about this story. The story is already up on Fox News. It's already up at the ACLJ. We are representing the family here in the United States and their interest, you know, internationally at the UN and things like that. And as we said, it's always an important step to announce, to talk about it publicly, you know, to put a name out there and to let you hear directly from the family, which is unique because this is an American citizen who is stuck in this Iranian jail, an American Christian who's been there since September, an American Christian who was under house arrest since July, an American Christian who's been harassed for his faith for years. He's got two young children and a wife here in the United States, and he's facing charges that haven't even been read to him, that he doesn't exactly even know what they will be. But we're talking to his wife now. And Nagme, I wanted to ask you one final question because I know people will want to know. With the situation in Iran, you know, it's a tough place. People know that. Your husband, I'm sure, knows that. You know that. Why did he go back so often? What was the reason why he was willing to, I guess, in a sense, take that risk or to be back in Iran, even though he is an American citizen now and certainly didn't have to?
You know, I'm sure the American people, me being raised in the U.S., we're all family and, you know, family oriented, and there's great emphasis placed on that, and especially Saeed. I mean, all of his relatives, all of his aunts, uncles, every single cousin, they all live in Iran, especially his immediate family. And he comes from a very, very, very close-knit family in Iran. And, you know, and his you know, he has a love for that country. That's the country he was born in and he was raised in. And he had a desire to go back and visit his family and his country, his people, and he had a great love for them. That's why he shared the gospel with them, shared Jesus with them, and also recently he'd started the last 3 years an orphanage in order to help the people that require the greatest help and the orphan kids. So he has a great love for that country, and you know that's why he went back. And, you know, as you said, he is an American citizen held in Iran. And his only crime is that he converted to Christianity and was sharing that with the people of Iran.
First, let me say, Nagme, to you, to your family, and to your husband as well, and to the American people who are listening, to everyone around the world who is listening right now, we are praying for you, but we're working with you. We're going to do everything we can at the American Center for Law and Justice using our international affiliates, all of our members, all of our supporters, those who may not even agree with us on every single issue that we work on. We're asking, this is one that shouldn't be partisan, shouldn't even matter what your faith is. I mean, obviously it should touch Christians deeply, but even if you're not a believer, you should understand that these basic rights to be able to practice your faith without fear of being thrown in jail, with charges like crimes against national security, being separated from your family. Again, two young children here, 6 and 4. He is the father, Saeed Abedini, 32 years old, in an Iranian prison as we speak. His wife has been joining us. Thank you so much for your time today and for your willingness to fight on this publicly. Thank you, Nagme.
And thank you.
Call now, 877-989-2255 to join that petition. That's 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. You remember the lengthy imprisonment of Youssef Nardakhani, a Christian pastor who spent nearly 3 years in prison in Iran because of his faith, freed only after an international outcry demanding his release. Now, the ACLJ is involved in a new case of religious persecution in Iran. We represent the family of a pastor, an Iranian U.S. citizen, being held in an Iranian prison because of his Christian faith. American pastor Saeed Abedini has a wife and two young children living here in the United States. He's been imprisoned in Iran for months. Now now facing charges that could result in a lengthy prison term or possibly even the death penalty. The ACLJ is mobilizing all of its international resources, urging the UN, the U.S. government, and Congress to demand the release of Pastor Saeed. Now you can add your name to our petition demanding his immediate release. Sign our petition now. Demand that Iran free American Pastor Saeed immediately. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. You know, folks, we've been talking to you about this troubling breaking case out of Iran. Now, it's not breaking for us. We've been working on it for a few months, but this is an American, an Iranian-American, a dual citizen, a convert to Christianity, 32 years old, Saeed Abedini. He's now been in jail 3 months in an Iranian prison, and not a good situation at all. He is separated from his wife and 2 children, also Americans. They are here in the United States. We have talked to his wife already for our broadcast. We've got a lot of information up at aclj.org. But we wanted to kind of set the stage for what things are like in Iran. You know, what it would be like to be in an Iranian jail, to be a Christian, to be an American in that situation. Let me play for you now some of the sound from our DVD documentary, The Export.
It is basic American doctrine that we have at least the option to use overwhelming force against our adversaries. We have that military doctrine because we want to protect American lives. We want to protect innocent civilian lives. And the best way to defeat the enemy is to do it quickly and overwhelmingly. It is essential to self-defense to be able not simply to respond to a particular attack, but to eliminate the threat to your national security to begin with. And that's the real question of what proportionality involves or what is legitimate. And until that's better understood in the international system, we're going to see additional threats to the ability of the United States and its friends and allies to defend themselves in the war against terrorism.
Let's take it right to Iran. First of all, you obviously you know better than anybody because of your work here as ambassador at the UN and just generally in your knowledge of this area. How significant is Iran as a threat right now?
Well, right now, Iran is the world's central banker to international terrorism. It funds Hamas, Hezbollah, terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq and around the world. If you add to existing Iranian activities the capability to deliver nuclear weapons anywhere in the world, you make Iran a world power and a world threat. That's why it is legitimate for the United States, Israel, or others to take action now in self-defense to prevent Iran from continuing to violate its own treaty obligations and obtain nuclear weapons. It's not a desirable alternative, to be sure, but the preemptive use of military force in this case is actually far preferable to the world as it would be once Iran gets nuclear weapons.
I was going to follow up with that, because do you have any confidence whatsoever in the UN's capability or institutional willingness to take the kind of sanctions necessary to get Iran to stop?
There may well be a fourth sanctions resolution coming, but it will be just as toothless as the first three, and it will not do anything material to dissuade Iran from continuing its 20-year-long project to obtain nuclear weapons. The most likely outcome today, absent the use of military force by someone, is that Iran will have nuclear weapons and very soon.
If Iran does end up with nuclear weapons, what's the end result?
I don't think Iran is subject to classical theories of deterrence. I think it worked through luck during the Cold War. It's not a system we should want to live under. And Iran has a very different calculus about the benefits of human life than even the Soviet Union did. But even if I were wrong about our capability to deter Iran, it doesn't stop there. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, Saudi Arabia will, Egypt will, Turkey, perhaps others. So in 5 to 10 years, you could have a multipolar nuclear Middle East with half a dozen countries with nuclear weapons. That is a formula for insecurity.
Insecurity, but also the ending of democracies like Israel as we know it?
Right. I think in a multipolar nuclear Middle East, you'd have many countries looking at the one next door saying, I wonder if I should strike first before he strikes me. And I would think at that point, the use of nuclear weapons becomes almost inevitable.
Last question, and that is, can the world afford to wait?
I don't believe so, and I've felt this way for some time. I think it is a mistake to overestimate how much time we have in Iran. I don't believe in just-in-time non-proliferation, because if you miscalculate and Iran gets nuclear weapons, the entire balance of power has changed. We're in a very critical year this year.
General Ashcroft, let's go back to September 11th. 2001, and put this in a historical context. The president, the first lady, were on a reading initiative for students. In fact, we always remember that shot of the president being whispered to by Andy Card while he was in the reading program in Florida. What was your day like that day?
I was destined for Milwaukee, Wisconsin, again dispatched by the president, as other cabinet members were, to be reading with students that day. However, before I got to Milwaukee, the word got to me when I was over central Michigan. I remember on the one side of the plane, Kalamazoo, and on the other side of the plane, Grand Rapids.
What did they tell you?
Literally, the voice barked out of the cockpit saying, "General Ashcroft, call the command center." Now, that could mean any number of things. It certainly didn't register with me at the time that I was going to be informed of this massive assault on America and her institutions. But I picked up the phone. The command center began to relate to me the details which were unfolding at the time.
What did they first tell you?
Well, they told me that there had been these planes that crashed into the Twin Towers. They told me that it appeared that this was not accidental, that there was a lot of uncertainty, and that there were other things that were still unfolding. I turned to the individuals in the plane with me, and I said, "The world will never be the same."
Yeah, you've said that before. We've talked about that before. The event had just started unfolding. The two planes had hit the towers in New York. Yet you already knew that the world, to the people you were traveling with, your staff, that the world was never going to be the same. What do you mean by that?
Well, we may have overestimated the number of casualties. I don't know whether your mind will carry you back to September the 11th, but we were thinking 10 to 15,000 people dead, potentially. And there are a number of miraculous stories that surround 9/11, where people were late for work, or their conference, which was to have been convened in the neighborhood, was delayed or put into another setting. So we had anticipated on the initial reports that there were, that this, not to say that nearly 3,000 who died on 9/11 and the other injuries are not consequential, but we had anticipated the potential damage far greater. And an assault of that magnitude on the soil of America was totally unheard of. And I must say that it's one that we had not anticipated. We had been told that there was a lot of activity in the terrorist community, but we had been assured that it was the kind of activity that had previously characterized terrorism from the radical elements in the Middle East, and that those were sort of like the embassy bombings and things like that. That
not civilian targets.
Hadn't touched America, and many of them were sort of especially governmental targets. They were not on our side of the ocean, they were on the other side of the ocean, and I don't mean to say that we would ever take those things lightly, but we hadn't an understanding of how much at risk our own culture was, especially some of the big symbols. And this is in spite of the fact, and we have to understand, this is a deficit in our understanding, because there had been almost 10 years earlier the effort and the first bombing. It was so bungled and so unsuccessful that I think it caused us to engage in a fatal error. It's always, not fatal, but it's a very serious error. It's always a very serious error when you underestimate your opponents.
Folks, we need your help. If you'll call now and join our petition, he needs your support and your help. Call 877-989-2255. Facing charges that have not been specified, but national security offenses, these can carry long jail sentences and even worse. We know that. So call now, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org to get more information about Pastor Saeed's case. But we encourage you, call now, 877-989-2255.
The ACLJ is mobilizing all of its international resources, urging the UN, the U.S. government, and Congress to demand the release of Pastor Saeed. Now you can add your name to our petition demanding his immediate release. Sign our petition now. Demand that Iran free American Pastor Saeed immediately. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.